But today is a day where, so it's kind of in between series. But I wanted to give us at least one Sunday where we would just look at, remember, maybe even refresh the fact that all of us have a story. And in fact, sharing your story, especially sharing your God story, is more important now perhaps than ever. As you probably know, or at least are sensing, we are moving into kind of a, you could think of it almost like post-Christian culture. There are fewer and fewer active believers in our land. And some of the godly heritage that started our nation, there's a, you can almost feel the us forgetting our very roots collectively. We're also in a time that you could think of it as kind of post-truth, or to a certain degree, post-trust, where we live in a world where fewer people would hold to the idea that there's an absolute truth, and there's a much greater emphasis on this is my truth. And there's certainly less trust in institutions, less trust in people like me, And sometimes perhaps for good reason. But there is one thing that doesn't change. And that's the power of story. That even in a skeptical world, even a world where people are uncertain about what to believe in terms of truth, what to hold on to, when they hear from somebody else, somebody who cares about them, someone that they know, a story of how Jesus has made a difference, of how knowing God has changed them in some way, they'll listen. They'll listen. Now, if you're like me, even like you might feel, I know this is weird to say this, but I hope I can be honest here. At times I'm reluctant to share my story. Like, you know, I sort of sense that people are, the culture is a little less eager to hear the J word, you know. But maybe that's all the reason more why days like today are helpful, is it gives us the chance to rehearse a little bit, you know? It's if it's harder, and maybe it is, and I could be wrong. I'm wrong on plenty of things. I could be wrong that it's a little harder in culture to share your story now than it used to be. But that's all the more reason for us to be ready. So what I was hoping to do today is just take us through a passage. In this case, it's Psalm 18. So if you have your Bibles open, or your Bibles on your phones, or however you access God's Word, we're going to be looking at four verses that have kind of help us to look at five questions that I think might be a helpful frame for us to talk about how to share our story. And there'll be an opportunity. This is one of those moments where pastors get a little nervous, because I'm hoping for people to spontaneously share aspects of their story, especially the aspects of the story that might pertain to one of the questions that the psalm brings up. Now, there's a few people that are already prepared, but my hunch is there's still a whole number of stories that are out there that, well, you're just going to feel the Spirit's prompting. And I hope that you'll say yes, and that you'll share whatever's on your heart. It doesn't need to be long. It doesn't need to be super articulate. But it does need to be honest, that we just share together about, like, the difference that God makes in our lives. I think it will encourage one another, and it will also help to train one another, that we'll practice the language. So, you know, even if you're hearing other people as we're maybe responding to some of these different questions that the psalm brings up, some of the kind of discussion prompts that the psalm brings up, you know, even if you're nervous to come forward, though I would invite you to do that, you could even practice with the person next to you, you know, especially if you came with that person, or you'd like to get to know them better, you know, but just to practice with them. Say, hey, I experienced that. Or here's where I've experienced spacious places. That's going to be one of the prompts. So let's take a look at Psalm 18 together. Why don't we read it out loud? We'll read it out loud and then we'll come back and go into it in more depth. Psalm 18, verses 16 through 19. Let's say this together. He reached down, come on, from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. Isn't that beautiful? Let's start to walk through that verse by verse, because there's some questions that come out of that. So if you're taking notes, maybe even take notes of some of these little questions, because my hunch is one or more of these question prompts will be something that will speak to you in some aspect of your story, something that God has been doing in your life. One of the times things that misconceptions that we often have about, you know, sharing our testimony is that at least I was raised, where when you're sharing your testimony, you talk about how you first came to Christ. And of course, it's good to do that. It's really good to do that. For some of us, that was a little while ago. Let's just be honest. I was 13 when I came to Jesus. A friend invited me to a weekend youth rally. And I distinctly remember putting my hand up and saying that I wanted to receive Jesus. And something happened in my heart at that moment. But truth be told, I'm dealing with different things now than when I was 13. It's been a while. And though I was 13 years old when I first asked Christ into my heart, and I first experienced the difference that makes in my life, I need to ask Jesus into my heart every day. And some days the results feel dramatic, and some days they don't. But asking Christ into your heart isn't really a one-time event. It's an ongoing journey. How goes your walk? Not just how did it go back then, but how goes your walk? And so while it is good to share the story of how you first came to Christ, and I hope you would, it's an important story to share. All of us have a God story, and all of us have an ongoing God story. So let's just dive in a little bit. Verse 18. He reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. So the first question prompt I'd like us to think about. If you're taking notes, this would be a good one to write down. What deep waters has God drawn you out of? What deep waters? The image in the Psalms is of somebody getting thrown into the deep of the ocean. You're in the deep end of the pool without a life jacket. You may or may not be able to swim, or maybe you're way out in the bay and you're treading water, but you don't know how long you can tread water. What deep waters has God drawn you out of? For some, if we're being honest, that might be a financial. Like I was in deep water financially. I had a mentor that used to say, I was in deep yogurt. It's a kinder way to say the way that you might have said it. I was something deep. Something deep and scary and bad. What deep waters? Financial. Maybe that's been a season of depression. Even Christians get depressed. Or season of loneliness. You know, like in a pandemic when you're spending way too much time on your own. Or maybe it's an addiction. As we get to know the stories of this congregation, we have a lot of dear folks that are in recovery. It is beautiful. And each one of them has a story of how God drew them out of some deep waters. So that's the first question. What deep waters has God drawn you out from? So some of you, that's going to be the prompt for something that you want to share today, whether that's up front for everybody or just to the person next to you. He rescued me from my powerful enemy, from my foes who were too strong for me. So the second question, if you're taking notes, what enemy has God rescued you from? What enemy? Now, that may even be a physical enemy. So some of you, maybe that's coming out of a bullying situation or an abusive relationship. What enemy has God rescued you from? Or maybe it's more of a metaphysical enemy. Burnout or discouragement. Or maybe it's the ultimate enemy of the fear of death. That because of what Jesus did for you and for me and for us on the cross, by dying for our sin and rising again for our salvation, that we no longer need to fear death, that God has defeated the enemy for us. What enemy has God rescued you from? For some, that may be their prompt. There's an enemy. You faced a foe, and God helped you. Verse 18. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my, what's that next word? Support. How has the Lord supported you? That's the other prompt. How has the Lord supported you? And for some, your story of faith is a story of finding peace in a situation where without Jesus, you wouldn't have had that peace. Can you imagine, for those of you that have walked with Christ for a long time, can you imagine what your life would be like without Jesus? It's good sometimes to imagine that because it fills us with gratitude and it fills us with empathy as well for those around us who don't yet know Him and don't yet know that peace. How has the Lord supported you? So maybe it's a peace. Maybe it's a sense of strength. Maybe it's a sense of courage in the midst of a challenge. How has the Lord supported you? And then we get to verse 19. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because He delighted in me. This one's so good, it's going to get two questions. Okay. So if you're taking notes, what spacious place has He brought you to? What spacious place? So maybe that's a story of finding a friendship. Maybe that's a story of finally experiencing some rest. Maybe that's a story of provision. I was in a tough time, but God provided. He worked all the details out, and now I feel like I'm in a spacious place. Or here's the other one. And for some of us, this is maybe the most important one because it's the hardest one for us to actually get our hearts around, okay? How have you experienced God's delight in you? God's delight in you. Do you know that God delights in you? Okay, let me see your eyes for a sec. Do you know that God delights in you? Yeah. That word for me, that sometimes it feels a tiny bit elusive. Like, okay, does it feel that way for you? But it's still true. God delights in you. God delights in you. How have you experienced God's delight in you? That's part of your story that the people around you need to hear. Even in hardship, God delights in you. Even in your struggles, God delights in you. Even in your doubts, God delights in you. Even in your shortcomings, God delights in you. How have you experienced God's delight in you? Okay. All right. So I'm hoping that as we've talked through some of these prompts and some of these questions, that there is one or more that for you has gone, you know, I got something to say about that. I've got a story to share. I've got a sentence, a word, a phrase, a something that maybe I can encourage one another with. So, what deep waters has God drawn you out of. Is there a story that somebody would like to share about that? And it doesn't need to be long, and it does not need to be super fancy or articulate, because it's kind of spontaneous. But what would be an example of a deep water that God has drawn you out of? Yeah, Patty, come on up. Yeah. So, Patty, what is some deep water that God has drawn you out of?
Well, before I got saved, I have a loud voice.
Well, it's okay. Well, see, otherwise, even if we don't keep the microphone on, even the people who are joining us online, they won't hear it.
Oh, right, gotcha. Right.
And I should point out that if you are joining us online and you've got a story, type it in the comments and we'll post it on the screen. So,
well, right. Before I came to the Lord, my ex-husband introduced me to cocaine, and so I shot that through my arm for 7 years. At the time, I thought I would live like that and die like that. I didn't see any hope at all. Long story, 700 Club told me where to go for a church, and it didn't take long after that before the pastor said, does anybody want to turn their life over to the Lord, yada, yada. And I did. And so I went down with the elder and gave my life to the Lord. And there is something that happens immediately. Not always, I mean, it's in your heart. It's the change in your heart. Not always a physical change, or, you know, like you don't wake up and go, woohoo, everything is fine and dandy. But you trust in him because you know he's there now and he will support you. And that's what I needed.
Yeah.
Thanks.
That's some deep water, yeah. So who here can relate to some aspect of Patty's story? Some aspect of Patty's story. Yeah, some hands going up around the room. Who else has a story of some deep water? Some deep water that God has... Yeah, so come on up, Elette. And if there's others that have a story of some deep water... Come on up, Tammy. Yeah, come on up. Come closer. How about that? Come closer. So Tammy, what's your deep water story?
Well, the recent one. I had to give my nephews up back to foster care about almost 2 years ago. Because I almost died from stress. Let's put it that way. Doctors telling me, counselors telling me, you can't take care of them. You can't. You have to put yourself first. That devastated me. And I made that hard decision. I did it. And for, gosh, the last year, maybe year and a half, I've been in extreme depression, extreme anxiety, extreme sorrow. I mean, it destroyed me. But now, my oldest nephew is with his dad in Missouri doing awesome. And my youngest one is with a family in Kashmir who love him tremendously, and they want to adopt him, and they want me in his life. Yeah.
So before you sit down, who can relate to maybe depression being part of your story? Yeah, so I just want you to look around the room to see that you're not alone. Yeah, there's... Sometimes, that's what we go through.
I didn't think I was going to survive it, but I did.
You did. You did. God drew you out of those deep waters.
All God.
Yeah. No, Ayla, what's your deep water story?
My yogurt.
Deep yogurt. Yeah, okay, there you go. Okay.
Anxiety. Agoraphobia. Fear to leave the house unless Walt was with me or maybe one of our kids was with me. Just extreme anxiety that would just overcome me. And for years... And we came to this church, and we hadn't been here more than a few Sundays when the connection groups got started. Paul was teaching a group on agoraphobia and anxiety.
Yeah.
Praise God. Praise God. I learned so much, and I still get anxiety. I still get that tightness. But all I have to do is say, Lord, lead me. Lead me.
Yeah.
He's there. All I have to do is pray, and he's there.
Yeah. Good story. Those are deep waters. Who here say anxiety has been part of your story? Let's put some hands. I want you to look around the room. See, just so you know, when you're brave like you've been and you share, you discover you're not alone.
Yeah.
Right. Probably
Thank
yes.
you.
All right. Is there another deep water story, or do you want to move on to the next prompt? Because I don't want to cut anybody. Oh, yeah. Nat, come on. What's your deep water story?
Before I had my son, I was kind of just like, I craved attention. So I was in a bad relationship for like 2 years, and long story short, ended up going to court with him, and that sucked. And then I met someone new, and then I had my son. And I gotta say, when you have your firstborn, it's the most amazing feeling in the world, and you just give up drinking, drugs, you give up everything. And I've never been happier. He's the most amazing little boy in the world, and it's an honor to be his mom. And he just kind of made me forget the anxiety, depression, all of it. And I have no need or want to drink or do anything because he's just perfect. He's brought me closer to God and my family, and he saved me.
Yeah. So God took this unexpected situation and turned it into something that's really profoundly good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
He saved my life.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he did. Yeah. I want to keep asking this question. So who can relate to maybe some part of that story where something happened unexpectedly and you go, okay. And it ended up being really, really good. Really good. Thanks for being brave. I know that was brave. Now, what about what enemy has God rescued you from? So that may be a situation, and I would ask, just because this is being recorded and it is on the internet, let's not name names. I can get really awkward really fast. Well, you'll never heard it. You know, that's the wrong reason for a ministry to go viral. But if you can share it without sharing a name, or maybe the enemy that you faced is a little more of a metaphysical one, maybe even like some of the deep water stories that you've heard. You know, but for those of you who heard, that was your prompt, and you went, you know, God has saved me from an enemy. There were forces that were conspiring against me. They were trying to hurt me, and God rescued me. Who has a rescue story like that? Yeah, come on up. Come on up, Susan. I think we're going to have some guys share in a moment, because we've got some amazing bold women in the church, and I spent enough time with Susan to know that she is among those amazing bold women. Susan, what's an enemy that God has rescued you from?
The enemy that God rescued me from was addiction to alcohol. So for 32 years, I was addicted to alcohol, and that was my deep waters and my enemy, and it was killing me. And I went to a Christian counselor for treatment to try to get sober and leave my addiction. And I was told by my counselor to pray and ask God to remove my obsession with alcohol. Well, I knew that's what I needed to do, but I didn't have the courage within me at that point in my life to actually ask God to help me, because I was embarrassed because of how I'd been living for so many years. However, about 4 months into my sobriety, I was still struggling, because it's not an easy thing to change. It's a physical addiction as well as a psychological and emotional. One day, just sitting in the living room, talking to Larry, I was sitting on my couch, and it was lifted. I felt the physical change, and I told Larry, I said, "You're not going to believe it, but I'm no longer obsessed with alcohol." And that was my rescue from the enemy, and that was a miracle.
Yeah,
I really didn't think it would be possible, but that's how God saved me.
It just happened.
Yep.
Yeah.
Before I was ready.
Yeah.
Yeah. He met me where I was at.
Yeah. That's how he does it. Yeah. Yeah. So before you go, so who can relate to some part of their, there's some hands. There we go. Yeah. Yeah. You're not alone. You're not alone. Others with an enemy rescue stories. So whether that was a particular situation, whether physical or metaphysical. Oh, Claudia. Yeah. I'm so glad you're willing to share. This is good. What enemy has God rescued you from?
The enemy that God has rescued me from is the same as the deep waters, and that is ongoing depression. And about a year ago, maybe a little longer, I was very deep in my depression, and I was so deep that I could no longer pray. The enemy was telling me that I was worthless, that nobody loved me, and I had reached a point where I prayed to die. I didn't have the courage to pray to live. But fortunately, one of the benefits of having Christian fellowship is having friends and a pastor who are willing to pray for me when I can't pray for myself. Mm-hmm. So through friends encouraging me, my pastor encouraging me, a Christian counselor, and medication. Yeah. I'm not afraid to say that I require medication to control it. But through that, I have been lifted out of that, and I now find joy in living again.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. Now, I know this question, I mean, because when I asked the question about depression before, a number of hands went up. I want you to be able to see that. Who can relate to some of that story? Like, depression has been part of your story, and God rescued you from it, met you in the midst of it, and rescued you out of it. So I want you to see some hands, because just to know that you're not alone. You know, we're in it together.
Thank you.
Thanks. Thanks for being brave. Someone else have a rescue story? Yeah, come on, Marcia.
Thank you. Good morning. I was in what I believe to be a very beautiful, loving marriage for over 30 years. Until it came a time when I had to change jobs and relocate. This was all a temporary thing. My family, or my husband, was going to move up here, and we were relocating to Wenatchee. During that time, and unbeknown to me, during my absence, my husband and one of my best friends chose to fall in love. It was devastating. So I ended up staying up here, coming to church as often as I possibly could, praying. And long story short, the Lord led me to forgiveness. Wow, what a powerful, powerful thing. And I was so thankful and grateful that I actually could forgive two people that deceived me the most in my life.
Yeah.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah. Thanks for being bold. Yeah. Thanks for being bold. Oh, hey, actually, before you sit down, where unforgiveness and knowing you, yes, okay, I wanted to make sure, yeah, you know the question that's coming, but I want you to just It's just even that visual, these are things that we all struggle with. Yeah. And I'm grateful that God rescued you from that. Now, the third prompt has to do with support. You know, how has the Lord supported you? This may not even necessarily... Ev, come on, I saw the hand. Come on up. So if you're wanting to share, just come. You don't need permission to come up and share on a testimony Sunday. But just even a story of how is yours an enemy story or a support story?
My story is I'm the mom of three addicts. And my story is how God intervened in our oldest son's life 17 years ago this month.
Wow.
Brian was here in Wenatchee, a meth addict, and he threatened to bomb Treetop. Of course, that was ended up in jail, and it was sent to a six-month treatment program in down by Tootle, down in the hills by Kelso, and he went there because he had no choice. As Rick put it, if you run, it's a long ways to that freeway. And so he, had gone there and got kind of bored and stuff, but he'd always been taken to church all of his life, and a van pulled up and was taking him to Tootle Community Church, mm-hmm. and Brian was bored and got on the van. And when he got on the van, God put him there, I know, because he got to Tootle Community Church and the pastor was a recovering addict and alcoholic. And Brian came to the Lord that day. He came back, and he's never, ever used since. And he's a wonderful adult now at 47.
Wow. That's good. Yay! Yeah, we're going to do the hand thing. We're going to do the raise the hand. I know. And you can run away if you want to. But where maybe you've had a loved one that has struggled with addiction, and that has been, there you go, some parts of your story. And you're not alone. Okay. All right. But another support story where God gave strength in the midst of a... There you go. The first guy, I want you to note this. Aaron, he's my dude. Thank you. you're going to get all the other guys brave. Being brave.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
So about a year and a half ago, I was in a really, really difficult work situation. I had people that were targeting me, attacking me, trying to belittle me, kind of push me into a corner. I didn't feel like I was unable to do anything. It was so incredibly difficult to go through that. And about a year and a half ago, I finally got a new job. God delivered me from that one into the one where I'm at now. And I am just so thankful for the support that he offered. I don't think I've ever clung to God more tightly than I did through that. And I'm so grateful for people like Andrew.
That was a struggle.
It was.
That was a deep struggle.
Yeah.
And you didn't know how it would turn out.
Yeah, it was really, really challenging. And I didn't. And when you're in those situations, you worry about, the well-being of your family as a provider. You just never know what's going to happen next. And it was a situation where... The gossip and the slander and the back talking was just so pervasive in that environment. It was brutal. Mm-hmm. And I felt kind of like God put me through the fire so that I could know what it is or how it is I would want to lead people or treat people. And anyway, it was a very heartbreaking, heart-wrenching experience.
You lead a team.
Yeah.
And you get to set the culture.
Yep.
And it's a different culture.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, thank God for that. So.
Yeah. So is God just supporting you and using our super hard time in your life to equip you for what was next, even though you didn't know that was what was next.
Yeah, totally.
So who can relate to that kind of story? Like God's providence, like I didn't. Yeah, look at that. Yeah, there you go. And that's right. Yeah, where God used a hard situation to hone you, you know, and prepare you.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad you were brave in it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks,
man. Okay. All right, there's another support story. Okay, yeah, Kathy.
This is a two-parter. When we started to come to church here, we came, we went, we came, we went, and we finally signed up for a support group, and Ray and Barbara led the support group, and it was an Andy Stanley, you know, getting to know Christ story. And in that group was a young couple, and the one young man was accepting Christ for the first time. And they were just a really lovely young couple. And at that same time in Jim's and my life, we had our darling daughters who had decided to push us away. Well, I'm at work at the library. This couple comes in. They ask me for an extra hour on the computer because they're looking for a place to stay. And I said, we have two bedrooms at our house. You're just going to have to drive all the way to Eniat to come stay in it. And I said, you can come and stay. Out in the parking lot, they had everything in the back of the truck and the back of her car. They came that night, swung by, picked up a few pizzas, and they stayed with us for 6 weeks. It was what I think both, Jim's back there, it's what both of our hearts needed. We enjoyed them. Jim kind of counseled with the younger man. The gal and I talked like we'd been friends forever, and she was younger, and she liked me. So, you know, it was a God thing. You know, we went to Barb's group, we met this couple, and it all fell into place, and it was great.
Yeah. Yeah, and God met your deepest need, and you just opened up your hands. You opened up your hands in your house, and the very thing that you needed, God just, he provided it.
Exactly.
Yeah. Good story. Who can relate to that story in some way? Some way, yeah. Yeah. There we go. Next prompt is about spacious places. What spacious places has God brought you to? So maybe this is a story of an unexpected blessing or something that a way that God... I'll give you two if you want to share two, but I also want to give a chance for anyone that hasn't shared yet. Okay, so Jerry, yeah, and Bob, and then you can, but a spacious place where God just provided. There, you had a need, and you experienced God's goodness, and we're getting more guys, and that's good. Yeah, you can share from here, wherever you want, Jerry, but I know that you've got some notes here too, and so I don't want to...
Well, I wrote my story down because there's a fair amount of detail to it, and I didn't want to mess it up. So if you don't mind, I'll just read it to you. Several of you have been praying with us about recent events, and we want you all to know that God answered those prayers. Sandy's 99-year-old mother had been living by herself in an apartment in the Minneapolis, Minnesota area for several years. In late June of this year, she contracted COVID and had to be hospitalized. The doctors who attended her during her month-long stay told us she could no longer live alone due to deterioration both physically and mentally. We began searching online for a long-term care facility that had space available and that would take her. God led us to a facility called Friendship Manor that had space available and that received good reviews from its clients. We then made the necessary arrangements, and Sandy's mom was transferred from the hospital to Friendship Manor on August 10th. The next major step was to empty her apartment of all personal belongings, preferably by the end of August, so that September rent would not have to be paid. Again, we spent a lot of time on the internet searching for organizations that would clean out the apartment. Each organization we found offered some degree of help, but none offered to take everything, and most would require us to haul everything essentially an impossibility for us. At the same time, we made plans to leave Wenatchee on August 15th and drive to Minneapolis to hire and coordinate with whatever organizations we could find to do the job. On the weekend of August 13, 14, God led Sandy to find an organization called Empty the Nest that seemed to offer the kind of total service that we desperately needed. We called Empty the Nest, but since it was the weekend, we didn't talk to anyone from there, but had to leave a message. Still trusting that God would somehow make a way for us, we set out on our drive to Minneapolis early on the morning of the 15th. As we were driving that first day, we received a call from Empty the Nest, and it sounded encouraging. They would take absolutely everything out of the apartment we didn't want, and they would haul it away. They would charge a substantial fee for all of this, but it would reduce the fee. They would reduce the fee based on how much they felt they could sell the items for in their secondhand store. A representative from Empty the Nest made plans to meet us at the apartment on Monday the 22nd to have a look at the apartment contents and give us a quote. The quote was about half of what we had expected. Now there's a blessing. Yeah. That entire issue of cleaning out the apartment worked better than we had anticipated. The apartment did get emptied on August 29th, and the apartment manager even allowed Sandy and I to leave a few days early so that we could get home in time for Sandy to keep some long-standing doctor appointments. Another blessing. There were a variety of other issues that had to be resolved while we were there, seemingly a new issue every day. But with the help of some family members, the staff at Friendship Manor, and direction and encouragement from the Holy Spirit, we were able to reach a successful conclusion on all of the issues. Sandy has talked with her mother multiple times since we've returned home, and her mom reports that she is doing well and even enjoying the food. Well, at least mostly. God is good.
God is good. God is good. Yeah. So God just provided for... Now, before you run off, I'm gonna, where you saw God provide for a need, like you just prayed, and God met that need. That's right. There you go. But God likes to bring, he likes to bless his children. And so he likes to bring us to those spacious places. Yeah. Thanks for sharing yours.
You bet.
All right, Bob, what's your blessing?
My blessing is when you talked about spacious places, kind of light went on. And back in the 1960s, we were coming down Snoqualmie Pass in the wintertime. Well, my wife, Jan, was a Christian. Loretta, her sister, was a Christian, and her mom, but I was not. But anyway, we started down Snoqualmie Pass, and all of a sudden, that car was fishtailing. It was bumper-to-bumper traffic going down and bumper-to-bumper traffic coming up. I could hit every car going down that road.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, that car did a 180, went between two cars where there was space.
Spacious places. Like just this big, but that's what all you need.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And there was a tow truck down below, saw me go in, charged me $5 to pull me out, and all I lost was a muffler and the tailpipe.
Yeah, and so God just provided. He provided that spacious place.
Oh, he
so
did.
The car...
I had no control over that car. Yeah. Must have been a band of angels turned that sucker around. Because
Yeah, what a great story.
Oh,
yeah.
I have had so many experiences. Christ has just done miracles.
The blessing was as an accident that could have been way worse, and God just protected you. Who can relate to that?
Oh, yeah.
Look around.
Yeah.
Oh, even more hands went up this time.
And he's done so many things before I was even a Christian that I look back and save me? But he
well,
did.
And
he did.
Yeah. He wanted your heart, and you got it.
Yeah, he did.
Yeah, he did. Yeah, Lauren, do you have a story? Yeah, Tammy, you can come too. Tim, too. I'm just going to give Lauren a chance to do it first. So a spacious place. Like, how have you experienced?
Okay, so adults make me nervous. I teach kids for a reason.
They all act like four-year-olds. You're fine.
God put it on my heart when I walked in this room. The spacious place you see is the Frenchman Coolies, and I had a miscarriage there. But I'm a mother of a 2-year-old now, and he's beautiful.
Yeah.
but he put that on my heart when I walked in the door. But I felt the Spirit enter my life, and I was doing everything I could to deny him. But he kept me safe at French McGooley, and I have a 2-year-old, and it's a blessing.
Yeah. If you are comfortable doing so, and you relate to some part of Lauren's story, there we go. Put some hands up. There you go. You're not alone.
Thank you.
Those are hard, and God is good.
Yes, he is.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Now, last but not least, I give you a chance to share your space. Yeah. Now, is that your hand up, Michelle? You can come on. Okay. Two more stories, and I'm glad that we're practicing telling our stories, because see, what people need to hear these. They need to hear how God has intervened in our lives. Yeah.
Okay. So the spacious place part is what, like, turned on a light bulb for me.
Yeah.
So I was looking for housing for 14 months. I was at my mom's place. Very crowded. Bless her heart. She put me in her room, and I was there. I was there literally 14 months. Like, oh, I'm not going to find anything. Then I get a message from, I have Section 8 housing, and they're telling me, well, we can't extend it much more, and you're going to lose the voucher December 31st. And I was like, oh, okay. I just put it all in God's hands. Okay, God, I trust you. I trust your plan. If I lose my housing, I trust that you're going to help me figure out something. And lo and behold, like 2 days later, I found a 2-bedroom apartment on my 1-bedroom voucher. And it's amazing. And it's huge. Huge. Biggest bathroom I've ever had.
Spacious places.
Spacious places.
Places.
Yes.
Now, that is a great
And I moved
story.
In December 10th.
Yeah.
Right before I lost my housing.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Places. But God just showed up. That was the need.
Yeah.
And literally the last hour.
Yeah.
He provided. He made a way.
Yeah. Literally.
Yeah. Who can relate? Who can relate? Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we're running out of steam. I know. Okay. Michelle, so what's your story?
The prompt before this,
yeah,
about the enemy.
Yeah.
So you all, I mean, a lot of you know my story, and you know that my kids aren't with me. And so my enemy, even though is still in my life, God keeps showing up. And that's why I wanted to come up here and just say that he keeps showing up.
Yeah.
I keep getting hits by Satan.
Yeah.
But God keeps showing up, and he says, you are loved, and I am here for you. And so I'm thankful for that.
Yeah. Good word. Good word. So let's close in a time of prayer. I invite you to stand. I invite you to stand. And I invite us to pray together as you think of the ways that where you've encountered God in your life and in your story. So I'm going to lead us in a time of prayer around some of the themes that we've already heard. But I'm also going to give some opportunity in there just for you to talk to the Lord about ways maybe you've experienced God's provision or his delight in you, ways that he's provided. It's important to remember, and it's important to share it. Lord, thank you that you are good, that you've rescued us from our deep water places. Congregation, just invite you under your breath just to think about what those deep water places have been. Thank you, God, for rescuing me from those places. Thank you, God, that for the enemies in our life, the physical ones, the emotional ones, the psychological ones, thank you, God, that you rescue us from those enemies as well. Think about that. Just lift those up to the Lord. And thank you, God, that even in the midst of the struggle, and perhaps even especially in the midst of the struggle, that you are our support. I just invite you under your breath, or if you want to, even out loud, just thank God for the ways he has supported you over time. God, thank you for leading us to spacious places. Sometimes very physical, like the apartment. Sometimes like to particular locations where we repeatedly meet you. Sometimes it's just to seasons of blessing, like where you just provided for those needs. Just take a moment and thank God for those spacious places, whatever those might be. Just under your breath. And Lord, thank you that in all of it, we experience your delight for us. Lord, as we recall your goodness over time, we recall your faithfulness. Lord, it becomes easier and easier to believe in your delight for us. Thank you that you love us. Thank you that you love me that much. So, Lord, would you take these stories of transformation, of help, of rescue, of support, and, Lord, we pray for opportunities to share them. And I imagine, friends, that there is somebody on your heart. Maybe that's a family member. Maybe that's a coworker. Maybe that's a friend. Would you ask God for an opportunity to share your story? And if there's a person that you're especially asking God to give you the chance to share your story with, just between you and him, just lift up that name to the Lord. So, Lord, use these stories. Use them for your glory. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.